Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody for listening in. Thank you today. So want to thank everybody from listening in via our sites. If you guys want to speak live, all you have to do is call in at 914-205-5327. Again, it's 914-205-5327 if you would like to speak live. We also want to thank all of our listeners from our radio network at blogtalkradio.com/TheGreenNewsNetwork. Want to thank you guys for listening in there. I want to thank everybody for listening in at paltalk.com in our Pal Talk room. Want to thank all you guys for listening in there, giving up your hands up. Thank everybody for listening in via Skype. I want to thank you guys for listening in. Also on Podbean and on Speaker, I want to thank you guys for listening in. Unfortunately, we were dropped from 105.9 in Urbana because we were not making them advertising revenue through our broadcast. So, unfortunately, we were dropped, but, hey, we're still going to keep moving forward. I want to also thank everybody listening in via our /TheGreenNewsNetwork. Want to say hello to everyone there. We'll get to your comments after the show. So comment away as we're going through the show. Want to thank everybody for listening in via YouTube. Want to thank you guys for listening in. Also, you guys with your comments, we'll answer your comments after the show. We'll eventually answer your comments during the show. But, you know, we just got to get donations. You know, we need donations. We need advertising revenue in order to bring you guys a smoother, clearer, more, you know, savvy to your ears as well as your visual. So we want to give you a better broadcast and also broaden our broadcast. So we need your donations, so you can donate at any of our donation sites. They are listed wherever you're listening in through. And we just want to thank you guys for being a part of the Green News Network. So let's go ahead. Again, we are on the War Report, again, episode 14. So basically, the situation, Trump pulled out the Iran deal. And just to let you guys know, all these deals, these trade deals, these nuclear deals, all of this stuff should be in treaty form. So they're unconstitutional. Basically, the Paris Climate Agreement, all this stuff is unconstitutional. It's all supposed to be in treaty form. If you do business with another country, it has to be a treaty signed. And just like, for instance, with, the START treaty with Russia, to where they were going to restart relations with America, and Hillary brought the famous stupid red button from Staples. and that's kind of ironic. You're going to bring them a red button to restart, and it's a nuclear negotiation. Morons. At any rate, so that's the whole situation. It's unconstitutional. There's not supposed to be a deal. But with this Iran deal, and Iran did threaten the U.S., if they pull out, they would reveal the people who got kickbacks for the Iran deal. Because America gave Iran all that money is because they are going to get a piece of it. Politicians who participated and helped craft the deal stood to gain $5 billion between them all to split. So, of course, you would see John Kerry commit treason by negotiating, trying to save a deal that is supposed to be a United States deal, and he's a private citizen negotiating on behalf of a government he does not represent. Now, if that's not arrogance and entitlement, I don't know what is. So that's the situation we have. I want you guys to listen to these clips. Now, this is Obama, and then we're going to get your favorite guy, old Burn, and let you listen to him, too. But I want you guys to listen to this clip of this is Obama's reaction to Trump pulling out the nuclear deal. Exactly how treaties are supposed to be carried out. And you can see that all of this stuff that they're doing is unconstitutional. Therefore, when President Trump pulled out of the TPP, that was a constitutional act. When the president pulled out of NAFTA, there shouldn't be any renegotiations of NAFTA. NAFTA did not have two-thirds of the Congress to approve it, where the president can go ahead and treaty. It is supposed to be a treaty. And if you notice in the mainstream media, if you go on YouTube and look up the Iran deal treaty, just put Iran deal treaty or put Iran treaty, you'll see that these mainstream mongrels or these mainstream liars or these mainstream propagandists who are paid from these foreign governments so that the American people can have a favorable eye on the fraud that they commit against them. So with that said, let's take a listen to Obama's reaction to the clip. And like I said, with your donations, and I'm looking into getting advertising dollars and all of that sort of thing, we're going to try to do a 3-hour broadcast. And if that goes well, we're going to move to 6 hours. And if that goes well, we'll move to 12. And if that goes well, we'll move to a complete 24-hour broadcast. That way we can add time so that people who want to buy advertising time can buy advertising time and help get us funded. We want to stay independent, and we don't want to deal with the duopoly or the oligarchy that controls it. We want to stay independent and give you the truth in lefty media, because we are a lefty media outlet. We make no bones about it. That fact. Let's go to Obama's reaction.
President Obama says pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal is, quote, a serious mistake. In a statement, Mr. Obama said walking away from the JCPOA turns our back on America's closest allies and an agreement that our country's leading diplomats, scientists, and intelligence professionals negotiated. He continued, the consistent flouting of agreements that our country is a party to risk eroding America's credibility and puts us at odds with the world's major powers. President Trump made the announcement to withdraw earlier today. He called the Iran nuclear agreement a one-sided horrible deal and accused Iran of being on the cusp of having nuclear weapons.
The United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. In a few moments, I will sign a presidential memorandum to begin reinstating U.S. nuclear sanctions on the Iranian regime. We will be instituting the highest level of economic sanction. Any nation that helps Iran in its quest for nuclear weapons could also be strongly sanctioned by the United States. America will not be held hostage to nuclear blackmail. We will not allow American cities to be threatened with destruction, and we will not allow a regime that chants death to America to gain access to the most deadly weapons on earth.
The president said allies are unified in preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, but European allies have been urging the president to stay in the deal. The president of France tweeted after the announcement, France, Germany, and the UK regret the U.S. decision to leave the JCPOA, the nuclear non-proliferation regime, is at stake. The president of Iran, Hassan Rouhani, also responded, slamming the decision. He claims Iran has followed the nuclear deal, but the U.S. never fulfilled its commitments.
So that's Obama, and they're like, oh, he's, but Obama, you're not the president anymore, you know, and it's all an ego thing with these people. It's all an ego. Now, let's listen to everybody's favorite hero. Now, I want you also to pay attention to, I forget his name, the CNN guy. I can't even think of his name because I haven't watched CNN for so long. But he's interviewing Bernie. Isn't that kind of ironic? Bernie's on CNN all the time. He's the sheepdog for you guys. He's who you guys look at and say, oh, I can listen to the lies from him. That's fine. So that's why they got him in your face. That's one point. The next point is that when you listen to him, he's going to tell the American people, and it's not Congress, but he's going to tell the American people that the economy is doing well. Which it's been doomsday, hasn't it, according to the mainstream media. But he's going to slip up and tell you the economy is doing pretty well. And I want you guys to listen to Bernie Sanders' sheepdog, the Democrat talking points, because that's what he is, a sheepdog, and people need to learn that. What I'm glad about is that Billy Taylor and a number of other activists have come out of the Bernie slumber and have woken up to his sheepdogging. What happened, honestly, is Bernie went too far with the Russiagate. If he would have just stayed out of it and was silent, like he was silent with the election fraud, he probably would have been okay, because he was okay after not contesting election fraud, after not contesting the convention, when he told everybody that he was going to contest the convention after the California primary. Yes, he said that even when Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton stole the California primary, he said, we're going to contest the convention. Why? Because he nor her had enough delegates to claim the nomination. And then what did we all do? We took out our funds that we were going to go to Jamaica with, or whatever we were going to do with it, and we took it to Philadelphia just to get spit in our faces. Good thing Jill was out there in Roosevelt Park, which Billy Taylor got the permit for. So kudos to Billy Taylor, and kudos to all of the former burners who are waking up. But I want you guys to take a listen to Bernie Sanders. He's ripping John Bolton over the Trump Iran and Trump over the Iran deal. But John Bolton is a terrible neocon / neoliberal globalist as well. But I just want you guys to pay close attention. Let's put on our critical thinking hat, shall we? Let's take a listen.
The midterms are now fewer than 6 months away. The economy is stronger. We're at virtually full employment. Why would anyone want to vote for change right now?
Well, I think what you have is a president who promised the American people to provide health care to everybody, and then proceeded to support legislation to throw 32 million people off of health insurance. And most Americans think that health care should be a right of all people. We're moving in exactly the wrong direction. You have a president, Jake, who said that his tax reform bill would not help the rich, yet 83% of the benefits are going to the top 1% and millions of middle-class families over a 10-year period will be paying more in taxes. You have a president who campaigned appropriately enough on the outrageous ripoffs of the pharmaceutical industry, and he said he was going to take them on. And just the other day, he caved in, of course, and did not go forward in demanding that we negotiate Medicare negotiate prices with the drug companies, or that we allow our pharmacists and distributors to re-import low-cost medicine from abroad. So I think what the American people perceive is you have a president who says one thing and does another thing. And the fact is that we have, while the economy is doing well, you have tens of millions of people who...
Let me stop you right there, Bernie. A president that says one thing and does another, how hypocritical can you be? We're going to contest the convention. We're going all the way to Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, I want to suspend the vote and nominate Hillary Clinton as president of the United, or nominate Hillary Clinton as the nominee for the Democrat Party. So, you're a hypocrite already, but... And then that's Jake Crapper. That's, I couldn't remember his name, but Jake Crapper. So here go. Let's continue.
We continue to work for wages that are far, far too low. We need to raise the minimum wage to at least $15 an hour. President talked about that during the campaign, but he has forgotten that since he has been elected president. So I think in many ways you have a president who said something during the campaign and is moving in a very, very different direction after he took office.
I want to get your reaction to my interview with President Trump's new national security advisor, Ambassador John Bolton. He said President Trump is already undergoing extensive preparations on North Korea. What was your response to the interview?
Well, I got to say something. Needless to say, on a whole lot, but I will give him credit for chutzpah. This is a man who was a key advisor to President Bush, George W. Bush, in urging him to get involved and to invade Iraq because supposedly Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. As I think most Americans now know, that effort in Iraq was the worst foreign policy disaster in the modern history of this country. We lost 4,400 American soldiers, brave soldiers, 31,000 wounded, 500,000 Iraqis dead. And Bolton talks about, appropriately so, the increased influence that Iran now has in Iraq, precisely because of the war in Iraq. So I think you have some people, unfortunately, in Washington, Bolton being one of them, who believe that war and militarism is the answer to everything. We have spent over $2 trillion in the...
Okay, you see he has sheepdogging all over the place. Meanwhile, Bernie... You voted for the funding of those wars. Freaking hypocrite. And then he goes on to, say how Bolton is wrong on North Korea, which he is. Because Bolton came out on North Korea because he pivoted quickly from Iran to North Korea. So, this whole situation, and he supports the Iran deal. I didn't support it at all ever because I know it's not a treaty and it's a fraud. And all it is kickback. It's making money. That's how politicians make money, through deals. That's why they have these foundations so they can funnel that cash through there, through racketeering. That's what they're doing, legal racketeering. And Bernie Sanders is just a sheepdog to keep you guys shut up. They don't want you withdrawing your consent from the duopoly. That's why they sit Bernie Sanders in front of you, because you'll listen to him and he won't rock the boat. Why? Because he signed a non-aggression pact with Clinton during the campaign, and he also signed a non-aggression pact with the Democrat Party back in 1990, because he would have lost his campaign because he was going into a war in 91 with the Gulf War. And he said, his words, quote, "I'm not going to let some goddamn war ruin my chances at election." That's his quote. You can look it up, brothers and sisters. So so Bernie Sanders, sheepdogging, supporting the Iran deal. And if you do support the Iran deal, that's your business. The Green Party actually supports the Iran deal. But if they look deeper, they will know that this is nothing but a money grab and should actually recant that. But we'll have to get more grassroots people to move this, because the National Party, you see how it's moving, because the Mexiters are empowering the National Party. You got to start getting these grassroots Green Party brothers and sisters. This is why I be railing on this all the time. Okay, so we got Iran. So the Iran nuke deal is nothing but a money grab for politicians to get paid. $5 billion is going to be spent between them. Look it up. Iran, because of the pullout of the Iran deal, were threatening to reveal the names of the people who were involved and who got the money from the deal. Look it up. It's on a tweet. The frickin' president of Iran tweeted it out. And his foreign minister. Look it up, brothers and sisters. It's hilarious. One good thing about social media and the internet, it sure pulled the panties down from the elite, didn't it? Especially for the truthers who have been called conspiracy theorists for the last 25 years. It's very, very sweet vindication. So let's move on now. Now, this is Fox, and, you know, Fox is partial propaganda, partial fact, controlled opposition, just as Alex Jones is. But I want you guys to critically think as you listen to it. You have to listen to both controlled oppositions to understand the goals of the elites, and that is how you combat them, through your critical thought and sharing it with your brothers and sisters, which is why I'm promoting the Green Party as a place, as a organization that we could come together in and make moves to move this system and break up the duopoly. Let's take a listen to Fox News. This is Laura Ingraham, the Ingraham angle, and obviously ideologically, I don't know if that's a word, but via ideology, we disagree hardcore. But let's just listen to what they have to say and let's get some critical thoughts from it.
Today to withdraw the U.S. from that nuclear deal with Iran. He also signed a memo slapping tough sanctions on the Iranian regime. Well, U.S. allies have complained that leaving the deal could be dangerous, but the president said it's more dangerous to keep the deal in place.
The Iran deal is defective at its core. If we do nothing, we know exactly what will happen. In just a short period of time, the world's leading state sponsor of terror will be on the cusp of acquiring the world's most dangerous weapons. At the heart of the Iran deal was a giant fiction that a murderous regime desired only a peaceful nuclear energy program. Today, we have definitive proof that this Iranian promise was a lie.
On top of that, more huge news. The president announced that the time, date, and location have been set for a summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is now in North Korea for a second time to pave the way for the talks. Moments ago, I spoke exclusively with President Trump's National Security Advisor John Bolton about today's developments.
Okay, this is a big day today. You know, people are freaking out. The usual suspects are freaking out, and then a couple of other not-so-usual suspects. This is what, though, the Democrats said about this deal back in 2015 when Obama had negotiated. Let's watch.
The whole purpose of our negotiation was to ensure that there would be no pathway for Iran to achieve nuclear weapons capability. And this deal doesn't achieve that.
This agreement is too flawed and too dangerous for us.
I read the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action last night, over 100 pages. I'll be honest, I was skeptical going in. There's nothing that I read last night that alleviates my skepticism.
Look, the fact is the deal has been flawed from the beginning. I think the president laid that case out in his statement today. He gave the Europeans and others a chance to fix it. It was not doable because the flaws go right to the foundations of the deal. So he did what he clearly advertised he was going to do as far back as the 2016 campaign, pulled the United States out of the deal. Why? Because it's in our security interest to get out of this flawed deal.
John Kerry today explained why he was doing his own little version of talking to Iran.
Until today, until this afternoon, the policy of the United States of America was to be in the Iran agreement. Until today, our nation remained one of the guiding forces within that agreement, and only today did the policy change. My conversations with these people are the normal conversations that I assure you every former Secretary of State has with leaders in other countries, and all I did was suggest to them, look, you guys really ought to try to keep the agreement.
Look, John Kerry's objective was to get a deal, so it's not surprising John Kerry's objective today was to keep the deal. It's the wrong objective. The objective should be to prevent Iran from getting deliverable nuclear weapons. The deal not only didn't accomplish that objective, in many ways, it facilitated Iran's efforts. So what President Trump did by pulling out of the deal is get back to what the real objective should be, stopping this dangerous regime from threatening us and our friends around the world with nuclear weapons.
John Brennan, another good pal of yours, Doctor, he said this about how the whole development with the Iran deal could affect our conversation with North Korea. Let's watch.
Well, I can't understand how it helps in any way the ongoing discussions with North Korea and the efforts to try to denuclearize the peninsula. It totally undercuts the credibility of America's word.
Well, as on so many other things, Director Brennan is flatly wrong. In fact, he's 180 degrees in the wrong direction. President Trump said this sends North Korea a signal that we're not in these discussions with Kim Jong-un just to have a deal. We're in them to denuclearize North Korea. So it's an indication of how serious President Trump is. As he said, when he says he's going to do something, he carries through on it.
Iran today said they were going to continue to try to abide by the terms of the deal, working with Russia, China, France, and beyond. How do you respond to that?
Look, I think Iran has demonstrated in so many ways it couldn't care less about the restrictions of this deal. What it wants are the economic advantages that Obama and Kerry gave to them. So, of course, it'll try and keep those. But we'll see. I think their real performance is going to put them in a position where our European friends have got to come along and put sanctions back on and to do what we've already begun to an extent. We're going to do even more tomorrow, work with the Europeans and others, not only on the nuclear issue, but on Iran's ballistic missile development, its continuing support for terrorism, and its military activities that jeopardize our friends like Israel and the Arab states in the region.
Powers, of course, former UN ambassador for Obama, tweeted this about what this deal and leaving it did. Trump has demolished America's credibility and paved the way for Iran to restart its nuclear program. Trump has done the unthinkable, isolated the U.S. and rallied the world around Iran. The costs of using military force have only increased. Basically, she's arguing that we could be getting closer to war with Iran because of what you guys did today.
Well, once again, it's exactly the opposite. This deal didn't stop Iran's nuclear weapons program. That's part of the problem.
But they did get inspection. They did have some inspections of sites that they got to choose, correct?
Yeah, there are no real inspections here. I mean, again,
were there inspections before the deal of any type that were useful?
There were, but they weren't adequate. And they're certainly not adequate on the critical issue here of Iran's military activities before now and continuing. We saw from what the Israelis released, although the data went back some years, Iran clearly has a weapons program. We don't know the full extent of it today, And by allowing this deal to continue, we were simply giving Iran more time to get closer to nuclear weapons.
The former U.S. ambassador to NATO, Ivo Dadler, said essentially today, a month-long effort by the U.S. closest allies to persuade President Trump to stick to the deal has failed. The failure not only dooms the deal itself, but also shows that when it comes to U.S. foreign policy, allies no longer count. Is that the message that Macron, he comes, he has that great state dinner, Theresa May stops by, you know, we have, of course, we had the German chancellor in town, Angela Merkel, and they feel like they're second-class citizens here. America is going to go her own way.
Yeah, I mean, that statement was just completely the opposite of what the president's view is, and it's why we're going to continue to work with the allies to do something effective about Iran's malign influence in the Middle East and not paper it over and pretend that we've actually stopped them.
The president's way of making decisions is fascinating. He likes a lot of inputs, even though he had campaigned against the Iran deal, repeatedly saying it's the worst deal ever. When did he finally decide to leave the Iran deal?
Well, I think just before the speech, really. And
before the speech?
The process you've described is accurate. For people who don't understand how the president considers these things, he doesn't make spur-of-the-moment decisions. He has listened to everybody who wanted to talk to him, up to and including over the weekend with Prime Minister May of Great Britain. He gave every one of them a chance to try and fix the deal. And unfortunately, they didn't come close because the deal itself is inherently flawed. Iran should not have uranium enrichment and plutonium reprocessing capabilities. That's what we're going to ask of North Korea. That's what we ought to be thinking of.
So what can you tell us about Pompeo's trip to North Korea? I mean, we see Kim Jong-un was walking on the beach today with the Chinese leader. This is all tangled up in U.S. trade policy, too, and a Lighthizer and company didn't get any real progress that we know of with China last week on their big trip. We need China to help with North Korea. Are they an honest broker? Tell us what's going on here.
Well, there's a lot of parts in motion, and Secretary Pompeo should be arriving in North Korea right now. He's there to talk about the preparations for the Kim Jong-un summit with President Trump. We're going to pursue this as aggressively as the president pursues any negotiation and see if we can't reach a historic deal on the
peninsula. We're going to get these hostages back that we should have gotten back a long time ago?
The president said quite some time ago, I've repeated it, we want these people released. They shouldn't be human
bargaining. Should it be part of the deal?
It should happen before the deal.
Okay, so is that going to be, you are going to let these people free, or this is off? Is that where we're going?
You know, Mike Pompeo's on the peninsula now. We'll see how this comes out. Keep your fingers crossed overnight. But let's not miss the question as well of what the meeting with Kim Jong-un itself is going to be.
Okay, I couldn't really take too much more of that. His voice is just piercing my brain. But I just wanted to show how they, were mapping it out, how they're trying to connect Iran to North Korea, because North Korea tried to ally with Iran to position itself as one of the main allies of the Eastern blocs, like Syria has done. And Syria has managed to maintain its independence and keep its president because of that fact. So Kim Jong-un is wanting some assurance in that regard. They have since released those hostages prior, and John Bolton, if we would have gone through the whole thing, because we're running out of time, but if we would have gone through the whole thing, and you guys can look this stuff up on YouTube or, whatever sites, or you can DuckDuckGo it, and it'll give you this information. John Bolton, look up John Bolton and Libya-style denuclearization, Libyan style. He said that, and the next day, because this has been about a week, this has been going on, so the next day, Kim Jong-un says we're going to possibly reconsider denuclearization because of what Bolton said. Libya-style denuclearization. What happened to Libya after that? They murdered Muammar Gaddafi. So that's what Kim Jong-un, and Kim Jong-un and Moon have a bromance, and you guys are messing up their bromance. You know what I'm saying? With your stupidity. And so it just lets you know that Trump, yes, he's a nationalist. Yes, he – or no, he is not a globalist. But he is a piece of shit. And he is his own – you know, he's his own – basically, he brought his people in. He didn't use the globalist, traditional globalist, propagandist politicians to his government. He brought his people in that he knew from his life. So that's the difference between him and the past bullshitters that have come before him. And excuse my language if my random profanity at times upset you. I do apologize in that regard, but you will hear that from time to time. So I do apologize if it is, upsetting you in any way. We are almost out of time. What I want to do is check to see if we have any callers in the queue, and I'm not seeing any callers in the queue. Let's see. I see some comments in Facebook. Let's just take a look at Facebook. So I want to read you guys this treaty, and then we'll go to see about your comments. We only have about 10 minutes left, so I got to move it along. Okay, treaty. The treaty clause is part of Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution that empowers the President of the United States to propose and chiefly negotiate agreements between the United States and other countries, which, upon receiving the advice and consent of two-thirds supermajority vote of the United States Senate, become treaties under international law. So how are these... this Iran deal coming under international law, and it's not a treaty? Just like I said, brothers and sisters, it is legal bribery. That's all it is. They come together, they call it a treaty, or which it's not, and then everybody gets paid from it. And the people of the countries who have come together are the ones who suffer. That's how it works. The body of law governing the U.S. foreign policy recognizes three mechanisms by which the United States enters into binding international obligations. The term treaty is used in a more restricted legal sense than in international law. U.S. law distinguishes what it calls treaties from congressional executive agreements. And it also, the Iran deal does not come under that Fawcett executive agreement. All three classes are considered treaties under international law. So no matter what you class it, if you class it executive agreement, congressional executive agreement, treaty, they all are under treaty and all under international law. They are distinct only from the perspective of internal United States law. Distinctions among the three concern their method of ratification by two-thirds of the Senate, by normal legislative process, or by the president alone, respectively. The treaty clause empowers the president to make or enter into treaties with the advice and consent of two-thirds of the Senate. In contrast, normal legislation becomes law after the approval of a simple majority of both the Senate and the House. So this is telling you the difference how you ratify a treaty as opposed to passing a law. So I hope you guys can see that this isn't a treaty. The TPP wasn't a treaty. None of this stuff is a treaty. It's deals, and money is made from them. How do you think Clinton is $200 million? Nancy Pelosi, $500 million. How do you think they got that? They were barely millionaires when they come into office. Obama, barely a millionaire. Now he's worth $25 million. We got to understand what it's really all about. So, unfortunately, we are about out of time. I'm going to check up on Facebook. Let's see if there are any comments. And if not any comments on Facebook, then we'll go ahead and close the show out. YouTube, Periscope, and Ustream, and BitChute, And MeWe, all you guys, just bear with us. I probably won't be able to get to your comments because of the time constraints. But we'll see what happens. Okay. Let's see. Okay, going to the comments. Let's see if there's any there. And just bear with me a couple moments here, brothers and sisters. I'm just checking these comments. And not seeing any comments, just likes. So, unfortunately, we're out of time, brothers and sisters. I'm going to have to go ahead and close the show out. I see just a bunch of likes. If you guys eventually do comment, I'll answer the comments. The show's archived, so you can always listen to the show via Blog Talk Radio, or you can listen to the show over on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Ustream or BitChute or any of those social media networking sites. So with that, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. I want to thank you guys for listening in to the show. And we will return with another show. Like I said, we're going to try to start doing those 3 hours and then 6, then 12, then 24. And we'll be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're going to try to bring you the weather, sports, all of our shows, Deb Della Piana, Harsh Reality, Furious George, all of the networks we're affiliating you on the Green News Network. So again, for listening in, I hope everyone has a wonderful day. And until we meet again at the appointed time, we'll see you later, everybody. Yeah.